Take a break from your busy schedule and join Harold Sala for Guidelines for Living.
As the darkness that shrouded Russia under communism began to lift, thousands of people began to search for spiritual roots. The following letter was sent to a fellow Christian broadcaster, quote, "I don't know how to address you. That is, I don't know your name, but I don't think that's important. The fact is that I want to know definitely whether there is a God, or are you just deceiving people? If you are as certain about God's existence as you preach and sing about Him, then I straightway would want to believe in Him the same way as you do." The listener then begged for a Bible so he could read the record for himself. As I pondered the circumstances of the one who wrote, living under the dark cloud of atheism, uncertain as to whether or not there is a God, I thought of the words of the one-time cynic-turned-believer Malcolm Muggeridge, who said, "God has mercifully made the diversions whereby we seek to evade the reality of existence so ludicrous, so preposterous in their outcome, that we are forced back to Him to cry out of help and mercy." You see, living without God under communism for 73 years seemed to bring out the very darkness of the human soul and spirit and make people cry out, "God, wherever you are, whoever you are, we want to know you." If, however, you sat down and tried to tell that person, the one who wrote the letter, who God is and what He is like, what would you say? Yes, you could tell him that God is loving and powerful, kind and merciful. But those words describe the acts of God more than His nature and character. There is one characteristic of God, however, which has always been difficult for us to comprehend, and that is the righteousness of God. Agree? In the pages of the Old Testament, there are seven redemptive names for God, each one showing us something of His relationship with us as His children. Each of those is a compound of a word with the Hebrew word Jehovah. And one of the most important is the expression Jeremiah used for God, calling Him Jehovah Tsidkenu, or the Lord our righteousness. Ah, yes, you say, but then you quickly ask, what is righteousness? Sometimes we better understand something by acknowledging its opposite. And what is the opposite of righteousness? In a word, depravity. Then, in our world of baseness and sin and wrongdoing, we understand that God, being righteous, is the very opposite of what we describe as sin in the world. One of our greatest misconceptions is that we can generate righteousness ourselves. Impossible, cries Paul, as he writes, "There is no one righteous, not even one." Again, he said that forgiveness with God for our depravity and wrongdoing is not because of righteous things we have done, but because of His mercy. Paul said it is through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. Malcolm Muggeridge believed that our darkness drives us to the light, and our depravity and baseness make us cry out for mercy and help. And when we do this, a kind and loving God, totally different from what we are, gives us eternal life, accepting the payment made by His Son who died for our depravity. In the natural, none of this makes sense. We, of course, treat anyone who acts generously toward us with suspicion, thinking, what's the catch? Understanding there is no catch makes our hearts cry out in praise and worship. As Jeremiah wrote, He is indeed the Lord our righteousness.
You've just heard Guidelines for Living. If you would like to hear more encouraging devotionals and stories of changed lives around the world, visit guidelines.org. That's also where you can join the Guidelines team in delivering the life-changing message of Jesus. Go to guidelines.org to see how you can impact the world with the hope of the gospel. Thanks for listening, and join us again next time for Guidelines for Living.